From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DiMatte. Annie Segarra is a disability rights activist from South Miami-Dade. She uses Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube to talk about her experiences with living with a disability. And she does a lot of educating, sometimes with some humor. She talked to WLRN's Nadege Green.
You decided to take your own personal story about living with disabilities onto social media and YouTube in a very intentional way. Talk to me about why you created this platform that now has thousands of followers.
I've been creating content on the internet since I was a teenager, and it just came very naturally to me to write about myself in public. I think that's a very millennial thing. I'm 28, and as my life progressed in terms of like coming out as queer, and then as my health started to decline and I discovered that I had a degenerative condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, I was always more so documenting things for myself in kind of a cathartic way. And then it ended up also being able to provide solidarity for other people and kind of a education or awareness for people that didn't know that these experiences existed.
You were diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Tell me more about finding out about that diagnosis and what that was like for you.
I think around the age 22, 23, my ability to stand up started to decline because I was working in the restaurant industry, and that required me to stand up for like 8 hours at a time sometimes. And as time passed, I would have to ask to sit on a stool after like 5 hours of work, then four and three and two, until I couldn't stand up for more than like 5 minutes at a time. Doctors kind of just dismissed it. The first thing they said was like, sounds like you're having a tough time at work. Just go home and put your feet up. You'll be fine. That was like the first clinic that I went to. I had to, on my own, buy myself a cane because I knew that without a mobility aid, I wouldn't be able to keep going out. I wouldn't be able to keep working. Continued to see more doctors. I kept declining and losing ability to walk. I had to discover the diagnosis myself. I had to do the research and Google and talk to people who had similar symptoms. And I told my doctors, I'm like, I think I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. I need you to test me for it. And then the response was laughter. It was like, haha, you don't have that. I like had a meltdown in the office, like started screaming and throwing my fists onto the desk of the doctor, just like big emotional breakdown, like you're not listening. Then another doctor came in, it was a female doctor, and she asked why I was crying. And she's like, I've never heard of that. And looks it up, looks at my, it was a scan of my SI joint, which showed that essentially I was walking on dislocated pelvic. And she says to him, she could have this.
And throughout all of this, you're documenting what is happening to you.
Started documenting things as soon as I got my first cane, probably around 23. So young people using a cane is a social thing that doesn't happen too often. I would get a lot of looks because of the cane. I would get people asking me if it was for fashion. So I learned right away that being a young person and being a person with an intersectional identity, being a person that was like of color and plus size, like there was going to be a lot of judgment for using the cane. So I learned that immediately. And now I have the same kind of attitudes because I use a wheelchair whenever I have to do something that's long distance.
One of your videos with more than 63,000 views on YouTube is titled, How to Spot a Fake Disability.
So if you clicked on this video, I'm pretty sure you're here to find out what are those clues that you should be looking for when you're trying to figure out if someone is disabled or not. Well, I'm here to tell you. You can't.
Tell me about what inspired that video.
So the title of How Do You Spot a Person with a Fake Disability, it came from the fact that I saw that that was something that people were looking up. So I was like, okay, if they're going to look it up, I want them to find this video instead. Because I'd already experienced a lot of people, accusing me of faking my disabilities. People don't realize that disabilities are in spectrums and can also be very fluid, just like my walking. Like, some days I cannot stand up even for a moment, and some days I can last maybe 5 minutes on my feet. Like, it's fluid. And then, like, I think the tamest one was actually one of the first times I used a wheelchair. And it was like this foldable manual chair that I took out of my trunk. And a woman apparently saw me do that. And she came up to me in this store and she said, "You know, I saw you get your chair out of the trunk. And I just want you to know that if you would just lose some weight, you probably wouldn't need to use that wheelchair." It was a mixture of fat antagonism and ableism, because she was saying that I was a lazy fat person, and that's why I was using the wheelchair to get around. It's one of the dehumanizing experiences that makes me so passionate about, like, disability advocacy.
Tell me more about how infrastructure impacts how you're able to or not able to navigate certain communities or places here in South Florida.
The sidewalks all over Miami are kind of hard on my wheelchair. There's a lot of just broken sidewalks, a lot of construction. The best accessibility I found as far as like street going is South Beach. Almost everywhere I go, it's kind of difficult. It's kind of like I have to emotionally prepare myself to have a difficult time. All the different like bars that I go to and how like difficult it is. There's one hotel that I go to sometimes. They have a lift outside, but I have to wait for someone to come open it with a key. So I'm waiting at the bottom of the stairs. It takes literally 60 seconds, less, 30 seconds probably. 5 steps up, lobby. 5 steps down, pool. While my experience is I have to wait 10 minutes for someone to bring me a key to open the lift. I get in the lift, get into the lobby. I have to take an elevator down to the basement, then go all the way around, a big giant U-turn around the hotel, and then I get to the pool. So it probably takes me like a full 15 minutes. So all these things, all these like weird alternate paths where I have to pass by like the trash cans on the way and things like that. I'm just like, yeah, when you have to use the same route as trash cans, you feel like trash. My city has forgotten me, kind of a feel.
That was disability rights activist Annie Segarra. You can find links to her videos and her writing at WLRN.org. This is WLRN News. I'm Christine DiMattei.